More. All right, folks. So, Kelly here, and it is the 11th day of December, and as you can quite easily guess here, I'm dealing a little bit with Roy Moore today, and some other stories for you. A body was found behind Rinconada Walmart, was just found, which has spooked the locals in this trendy enclave near a group of tasteful homes surrounding a golf course. Right now, there isn't much else to report on that. Meanwhile, there rages a spirited fight over the soul, speaking of which, of both the Democrat and Republican parties. An example of this struggle is how these two parties are trying to posture themselves over the Roy Moore Senate race, meant to replace Jeff Sessions' seat, who's now the Attorney General. The Dems are purifying their party by kicking out ostentatious perverts like John Conyers and Al Franken so they can then claim purity on the topic and excoriate the GOP to go after them and put them in their place. The problem with this approach is that the Dems didn't care for decades that Bill Clinton was credibly attached to sex assaults, admitted extramarital affairs, and yes, even rapes, because it left them in a powerful position to look the other way. And even when Clinton was impeached over an affair with an intern, the Dems mostly just laughed or attacked the supposed puritanism of the right. Meanwhile, the fifth largest fire in California history rages along with many other blazes along the coast near Los Angeles. Of course, Jerry Brown, the three-time governor and insufferable lefty, being an unrepentant progressive, claims that this is the new normal and that, of course, what else? Global warming is to blame. Don't bother with asking for evidence. There isn't any. Hilarious stuff. And the hotspot in D.C. that used to seat Trump is being fought over, believe it or not, by Robert Mueller, who made the incredible decision to only hire Democrat donors and anti-Trump hacks while pretending to be in a remake of The Untouchables. The public is starting to wake up to this incredible story. And what week would be complete without a strong dose of fake news where CNN lies about Donald Trump or his son and his supposed work with WikiLeaks? You can't make this stuff up, folks. All right, so let's kind of dig down into this, and we will get into some of these stories. Now, the GOP is taking a calculated risk that what they're doing in Alabama with Roy Moore is not going to freak too many people out. And I think that what we're talking about here, what's at stake is the control of the Senate. Even though the GOP has blown it in terms of taking advantage of an attempt to redo Obamacare, which I think is DOA. And as a matter of fact, I saw a report. Let me see if I can track it down here. It was really incredible. Let's see here. Yeah, I don't know if it was here. Okay, here we go. Obamacare premiums as high as $40,000 for families. And this article is from the Miami Herald. And I'm looking at Richard and Heidi Reiter feeling the sticker shock after shopping for 2018 Affordable Care Act coverage for themselves and their two sons, age 17 and 21. They make too much to qualify for coverage, so they have to pay the whole thing themselves. They paid $26,000 in premiums for coverage in 2017. Think about that. How much money a month is that? It's more than $2,000 a month. Now, it's gone up to about $4,000 a month. The same coverage for 2018, $40,000. So they decided to switch to a smaller plan, but that's why there's so much anger out there. That's why Trump is in office. Now, getting back to Moore, claims he never dated an underage woman. He's disappearing. He is back in the lead, as a matter of fact. I'm going to have to guess that he is going to win, but I've got a little clip here from Devin Nunez on the Roy Moore situation. Let's see. I think I want to, before I do anything else, I want to go through the stories of the day for Google News. At 230,000 acres, Thomas Fire, now the fifth largest wildfire in modern California history. More injuries and more disaster in the NFL. Wentz, who should have been the MVP for leading the Eagles to the best record, they think he blew his knee out. So we'll be not out just the rest of this year, but he'll be out probably at least halfway into next year. So, and another guy was paralyzed last week. And so, I mean, I just really think that I do believe that what you're looking at is the beginning of the end for the NFL. I don't think they can sustain this any longer. The kneeling has been a disaster. The injuries, the head trauma that so many of these people suffer. And I looked at pictures of the stadiums today, and they were just missing so many people. I'm in some of these stadiums, I swear I'm not making it up, there was maybe 25% of the seats that were filled. And another game that was kind of weird, they had a game up in, and this is really not related to anything, it was just kind of strange, they went to up to Buffalo, and it was snowing so hard you couldn't see the game, which is a problem. All right, so other stories. Many celebrities having to evacuate their houses in California. And there is a new claim that humans migrated out of Africa much earlier than we thought. We'll get back to it. They found the oldest and largest supermassive black hole from the infant universe, is what they're saying. And let's see what else here. Okay, so let's dig into this story with Frank Lutz. He can't believe that anybody in Alabama would support this guy Moore.
Are you all Christians here?
Yes.
Is Roy Moore a good Christian?
I just want to remind you, Frank Lutz is a pollster for the Republicans for conservatives, and he fills rooms full of people, and then he asks them questions and gets live polling. It's very interesting, and they're asking Alabamans about Roy Moore.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely?
Yes.
Without any doubt whatsoever.
I do not know necessarily.
Let me ask you this.
Nobody's perfect. Please explain nobody's perfect when you look at the things that he has been accused of.
Is not found guilty.
I want to know.
Just because I don't go to church every time the doors are open doesn't mean I don't believe. And God doesn't expect us to be perfect, but he does expect us to try and repent of our sins.
He's not my choice. I'm not voting for him because I like him. I'm voting for him because I don't want Doug Jones. But Roy Moore is entitled to the presumption of innocence in the law and in the Bible, just like anybody else should be. They're only accusations. There have been no charges filed. All you have is a group of women that have come forward said...
How many?
Seven.
More.
No, there's really three.
Higher. How many women have to come forward before you say, wait a minute, where there's smoke, there's fire?
It doesn't matter about legitimacy, not just how many.
Exactly.
How many are actually not being paid or being coerced to do this?
How many of them do you think are being paid?
All of them.
All of them?
All of them.
By show of hands, how many of you think all the women are being paid? Seriously.
To me, there are only two women that maybe have a smoking gun, but, you know, the women's reputations were questionable at the time.
Is this how you want to be treated as a woman if something were to happen to you? Do you want to be dismissed that way?
Better have proof.
You know, it doesn't sound like it went beyond the still clothes zone. It doesn't sound like it went beyond anything, and that as soon as the girl said she wasn't comfortable, he took her home.
But I guess my question is, you blame her. She's 14.
I'm not blaming her. I'm blaming both of them. So I didn't say that I thought he was without sin. It's possible he did it, but it's possible that he could be forgiven for... I don't think he raped her.
Let's be real. It was a different world. 40 years ago in Alabama, people could get married at 13 and 14 years old. My grandmother at 13 was married. At 15, had two children and a husband and a job. If Roy Moore was guilty, if he was at the mall hitting on this 14-year-old, 40 years ago in Alabama, there's a lot of mamas and daddies that'd be thrilled that their 14-year-old was getting hit on by a district attorney.
I dated an older man at 16. So we don't really...
How old was he?
31. I'm not going to say that the 14-year-old, that's... I don't believe her, to be honest. The one that said she was 14, I don't believe her. But for all of us, as a woman, I think we've pretty much all been in the situation where there's been a sexual harassment.
I mean, think about what you're saying. You're calling all nine of those women liars. Nine women. When it happened to you, didn't you want people to trust you?
I never told anybody. And
is that good either?
And if I was going to tell somebody, I would not have waited 38 years to tell it. That's what's mind-boggling. Why wait till now at an election to come forward and say, oh?
Okay, Frank, what you're wanting to know is we got a bunch of conservatives here, and you want to know why we're going to vote for Roy Moore. My wife went to high school with Roy. She said in high school, Roy was a hard worker, an American success story, if you will. He always aimed for higher things. However, neither she nor I have ever voted for Roy up until now. And we intend to vote for Roy because of the opponent that's running. Right now, as far as I'm concerned, we've probably got two miserable candidates. In my opinion, we ought to go with a conservative. We ought to go with somebody that we know is going to vote conservative. And that's what I'm looking for.
Roy Moore is not a miserable man. This man has more integrity than you can find in the entire Congress right now. Don't fall for the George Soros assassination plan. The truth will come out. These women are all going to be proven, just like the 16 that went against President Trump just right before the election.
What about the women who went against Bill Clinton?
The accusers of Clinton, everybody knows he's a... womanizer.
Well, people think the same thing about Roy Moore.
With Bill Clinton, they went to the courthouse and they filed papers. They didn't wait 40 years to do it. That's a huge difference than just going to the media only 6 weeks before an election.
So I got a question for you. We recruited, there are about 60 people who wanted to be in this group, and you guys ended up in it. Not a single African American is in this group. Why?
Welcome to Alabama. Democrats.
That's the best you can come up with.
I was here during the civil rights era. We didn't have racial problems after the 80s because we went through it. When Obama was elected and he started his divisional rhetoric, race relations in Alabama went the rest of the way of the country.
The race relations in the state of Alabama is really not that bad.
But what does it say?
Why does it always come down to race? Why can't we just be Americans, Alabamians?
Because 97% of the African American community is going to vote for Doug Jones. Does that not concern you?
It does.
Yes, it does.
That concerns me greatly. It tells me that Roy Moore didn't do a very good job of getting out and campaigning.
So why aren't they voting Republican?
Because they listen to people, you know, that are... that have influence over them.
If they've been so destroyed, why do they keep voting for them? Why won't they vote for your candidates?
Well, in my opinion, they'd be stupid.
I don't understand that.
If you vote for somebody that's making you worse and worse, do you call that smart or stupid?
Isn't a better question why African Americans wouldn't vote for him? I mean, like, Why do they want immigrants coming over and taking the jobs that they could be having? You know, what do they believe? Do they believe a baby should be aborted at 9 months? I mean, I don't know.
Policy is everything. And if we don't stand for conservative policies, then we've lost anyway.
All right, so I've got an opinion on this, and my opinion is that what is... All right, so I have an opinion on this. I think what has happened in this country is that we've been burned so many times by basically the media has burned us so many times that we don't want to, or people in Alabama don't want to put faith into the analysis of the media because they know that it is very flawed. You heard Frank Luntz standing there basically judging these people, or what sounded like judging, and I'm sure that he was just trying to get a reaction from him. But, you know, there have been many times when the media and the far left has tried to gin up some sort of an attack at the last minute against a candidate. And the upshot is that that candidate loses. And Meg Whitman was ahead of Jerry Brown running for the governorship of California because they then found that she'd had an illegal working for her as a you know, a maid or something, and so they blew that up. She lost a few points after that. Maybe it was 5 points, but Jerry Brown won. The media, the left, is always doing these gotcha games, and people do not like it. I personally do not like it. And I don't want somebody to tell me, you can't vote for, of course, you know, I can't vote for Moore anyway, but I wouldn't want somebody to come up from the far left and tell me there's only one person to vote for, because as the lady said there, there are bigger issues, and the bigger issues is policy is everything. You could throw somebody out because they're not good enough to be in the position, like Moore is not supposed to be good enough to be in the position, but then what about the policy? For example, as the lady was asking, do you believe in abortion up to the last trimester? What if Roy Moore was thrown out, the abortion law was changed as a result, and 10 million more babies were aborted because of that, of it? Would it be justice? So it just goes to show you that there are things that there's a lot of different factors here. But I think one thing is that the right has learned its lessons in terms of trusting these people. And we don't want to be talked down to. We don't want to be mistreated. We don't want to be treated like morons any longer. And I just think that that's really what you're talking about there. And you can go and try to make these people seem like they're more idiots or whatever, but there's a lot riding on this race. So now, CNN made a massive, massive mistake. I've got another clip here for you. But basically, they said that Donald Trump Jr. had gotten this information from the WikiLeaks. And CNN is apologizing here. I've never really seen him apologize before, but check this out.
Let's go live to now CNN's Manu Raju on Capitol Hill with a development. Manu, what do you have?
That's right. We're actually correcting a story that we have been reporting throughout the day today about an email that was sent to the Trump campaign, to then candidate Trump, Donald Trump Jr., and others during the heat of the campaign season. This email included a decryption key and also a link to where they could access some of these hacked WikiLeaks documents from the Democratic National Committee. Now, we've been reporting that this email came on September 4th. That was before some of these documents were publicly available. But we have just obtained a copy of this email. And instead, we now learn that this email was on September 14th. So that is 10 days later than what we originally reported earlier today. And this is, appears to change the understanding of this story, because initially it seemed perhaps they were being offered access to documents that were not yet publicly available. But in this email from an individual named Michael Erickson, they do direct the Trump campaign to some publicly available documents, hacked documents from WikiLeaks, as well as from the former Secretary of State, Colin Powell, saying that those documents are indeed available. Now, our initial reporting on that September 4th date was based on two sources who had seen this email, but that information was incorrect now based on a copy of the email that we have obtained this afternoon. So, Brooke, it just shows that perhaps the initial understanding of what this email was perhaps is not as significant as what we know now based on this email. We do know that Donald Trump Jr., when he testified before the House Intelligence Committee, was asked about this email. He said he had no knowledge of it, which we reported earlier as well. And his attorney said he did not act on the offer to obtain these hacked emails. That's a statement that they continue to say today. But this email came on September 14th, not September 4th, as we said earlier, Brooke.
Okay. Manik Raju, thank you. Back in a moment.
Back in a moment, huh? Well, I mean, so, and that's the second problem that these guys have had. And one of the other problems was that Brian Ross got up and said something that was just totally false. So, I mean, what do you expect? There's the story, there's the legend of fake news. The fake news goes out. It influences people. Many people might just catch the first story and never hear about the callback on the story, the walkback of the information. But it's very, very sad that, you know, that the CNN acts like they're the greatest news agency in history, and at the same time they're regularly pumping out false information. And in addition to that, they are also putting out very suggestive and misleading or biased articles. All of these media organs are doing the same thing. And so, you know, how does the president fight back? How does he push back? Well, you might say, well, the reason that he's being treated this way is because he has mistreated people. And so that he's getting what he deserves. He's a president, and it's important that people not lie about him. That's my take on it. And, I think it's terrible that, you know, you have to take every single story that you get from the mainstream media, and you have to put doubt on it. You have to sprinkle it with doubt before you even read it. It's just crazy. All right. So let's move on to the story of the fire in California. And this is from the LA Times from today, 6:45 p.m. So a couple of hours ago. And, there's just, you know, you see the pictures and it looks like a volcano, and a lot of these hills are just so caught up in flames and the embers, the burning and everything. So it is just terrifying for a lot of these people. 230,000 acres by Sunday evening, fifth largest in history. Fire grew by more than 50,000 acres during the day, triggering new evacuation orders for 5,000 county residents. In Mission Canyon, I realize you won't know where this is, but Highway 154, 192, you can look it up if you want. And now that particular fire has been cut down from contained. Well, it was contained 15%, and because of the Santa Ana winds, these very high winds, it's gone back down to 10%. The blaze has destroyed 524 structures and damaged 135 in the city of Ventura. And don't forget Ventura Highway, very famous stretch of road, and a song put together by Was it maybe America put that out? But, all right, so the main worry is Carpinteria, a city in Ventura. So it's not going to be contained anytime soon is the main thing. And I think there are six or seven different blazes going on. All right, I've got another story for you that's kind of interesting, which I'll get to later. It's about the temple in Israel. Now, part of what's going on here, kind of moving back to why Roy Moore is getting supported and Al Franken was kicked out. The guy writes a story in the Daily News, New York Daily News, a very famous newspaper there. And the story title is The Revenge of the Deplorable. So what you've got is people that have been treated like garbage for decades. People on the right have been treated like as if they're stupid, uneducated, immoral, unethical, all these different things. And the fact of the matter is that the people on the right have been burned so many times that they're not going to give up anymore. They're not going to give up for Roy Moore. They're not going to just hand him over. And what you've got is a situation where the Dems and the Republicans have two different standards. And they say you have to kind of live up to your own standard. That's from the book by the teacher of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, Rules for Radicals, is make your opponent live up to his own standards. And so what I think you've got here is you've got people that are not going to be cowed. They're not going to be tricked anymore. And I think the right is a lot tougher than it used to be. And I think part of that is Trump. Now, interestingly enough, I just told you about the CNN reliable source where they just apologized. And so, well, they just apologized for this fake news on Donald Trump Jr. Now, Brian Stelter, this very bizarre and very childish host at CNN, he hosts the reliable sources, is now attacking Trump through the screw up. And, then he brought a couple of people onto his show, Carl Bernstein from Watergate, an anti-Trump, so-called conservative, David Frum, and got those two to call Donald Trump a serial liar. And so, you know, even when they're apologizing, they're still on the attack. And Brian Stelter, of course, didn't apologize for it. So you've just got another situation where the people on the right are, or pardon me, on the left are using this double standard. And the double standard is only meant to help the left. And as soon as the double standard is put into place, then it is thrown out because they don't need it anymore and their candidate can do anything that they want. So I'm going to get into this other story here because it has to do with what we were talking about before, which was the incredible, incredible activity by Robert Mueller to launch a bunch of Democrats and activists and anti-Trump people and try to get Trump kicked out of office. I really think that Robert Mueller should be removed from his position and prosecuted because what he is doing is so unethical. But here's a little bit from Devin Nunes, who is the head of the committee, the Intelligence Committee, and was just cleared of any charges himself.
Fox tonight. Major victory, meantime, tonight for House Republicans and specifically the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. Chairman Devin Nunes has been cleared of accusations that he disclosed classified information, a charge he insists was political, not factual. Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Herridge talked to Nunes today about that and other issues.
From the beginning, I said this was baseless, and it was baseless.
After an eight-month review, the House Ethics Panel cleared the Republican chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Devin Nunes, of revealing classified information while overseeing the Russia investigation.
I think it gives people in the United States a seen into how dirty this place can be.
Speaking exclusively to Fox News, Nunes said the complaint filed by liberal groups was designed to shut down his investigation that revealed the unmasking or identification of Trump campaign associates by President Obama's appointees in foreign intelligence reports.
Was the ethics complaint legitimate?
No, this was just, I think, a clear design by the left working in conjunction with parts of our government to keep information away from me and the House Intelligence Committee.
Nunes publicly confirmed for the first time a months-long probe that goes well beyond the Russia case into the surveillance of Americans through the FISA or national security courts.
I believe we have evidence that there is definitely abuses have occurred.
And Nunes pointed to the leaked conversation of General Mike Flynn with the Russian ambassador. And the congressman said he is unaware of any leak investigation by the FBI or Justice Department.
I hate to use the word corrupt, but they become at least so dirty that who's watchman? Who's investigating these people? There is no one.
Nunes said he will call the Justice Department official recently demoted over his contacts with the firm behind the Trump dossier to testify. The congressman said he believes the Obama Justice Department, from Attorney General Loretta Lynch to her Deputy Sally Yates and FBI Director James Comey, may have valuable information.
It's hard to believe that all of those people, there was a very small circle that were looking into the Trump dossier overall.
Today, CNN misreported that Donald Trump Jr. coordinated with WikiLeaks to obtain Clinton campaign emails, later correcting the story because their sources provided the wrong date and the leaked campaign emails were already public. The Justice Department also released the attorney's.
It was an instant savings, and I should have changed a long time.
Well, sorry about that.
General security clearance application that did not require disclosure of foreign government contacts while in government business, unless he developed a personal relationship.
I think for the most part, people thought it had to do with Russia collusion, but we have no evidence of Russia collusion between the Trump campaign.
The federal judge who oversaw General Flynn's guilty plea earlier this month will no longer handle the case. Judge Rudolph Contreras, who was appointed by President Obama, also sits on the National Security Surveillance Court. A court spokeswoman offered no explanation for the recusal, and the Flynn case has been randomly reassigned, Brett.
All right, so here's a little bit more from Judge Pirro on what kind of people are involved in the Mueller case. It's really, I have to tell you, it is tremendously sad to me to see the level of collusion and, you know, the back patting and the, you know, this Mueller acting like, as I stated before, acting like he was part of the Untouchables. I mean, going around making faces, acting like he's the most serious person in the world, coordinating all of this corrupt stuff and acting like he is above and could never be anything but above any question of dishonesty or and I think that he has cooperated. He's colluded to try to get rid of Trump and he needs to be in jail. I don't know how popular that idea is, but here's a little bit from Jeanine Pirro.
There is a cleansing needed in our FBI and Department of Justice. It needs to be cleansed of individuals who should not just be fired, but who need to be taken out in handcuffs. Now, there have been times in our history when corruption and lawlessness were so pervasive that examples had to be made. This is one of those times. Handcuffs for Andrew McCabe, Deputy Director of the FBI, the man at the hub protecting Hillary and attempting to destroy Trump. Now, according to Senate Judiciary Chair Grassley and confirmed, being investigated by the Department of Justice for seeking money for his wife's campaign to run with Hillary from her bagman, Terry McAuliffe, chairman of her presidential campaign and board member of her Clinton Foundation, that slush fund. All the while, McCabe was investigating both Hillary and McAuliffe. Grassley says McCabe, and we've confirmed this as well, is also being investigated by the Office of Special Counsel for violating the Hatch Act, which prohibits political activity by federal employees, for using his government email account to distribute contents in his wife's campaign. And at the height of political chutzpah, he actually sends his FBI resume to McAuliffe before he and his wife meet to grovel for Clinton cash. There are also photos of him campaigning for his wife. Now, McCabe is also being investigated by the EEOC on the complaint of a female FBI agent. All investigations have been going on for almost a year, while McCabe still works for our FBI and collects a check from us. Handcuffs, too, for Peter Strzok, a high-ranking FBI agent working under McCabe, the one who actually changed the language from grossly negligent to extremely careless in Jim Comey's exoneration of Hillary Clinton. And also with the Hub, Strzok worked with Christopher Steele, the one who wrote the Trump dossier, created, bought, and paid for to destroy Donald Trump by the Clinton campaign. Reports are that Strzok was the one who signed the application for a FISA warrant, which was then used to surveil Trump's campaign, which was then used to illegally unmask Americans. But of course, the new director of the FBI, Christopher Wray, refuses to give up that information. And Strzok, after being loaned from the FBI to Mueller's team, almost one and the same at this point, is removed from Mueller's team because of anti-Trump text messages to his mistress, a lawyer for the FBI. And to show you how screwed up Washington is, they send an FBI married guy having an affair with an FBI lawyer to work in human resources, as if he's qualified to counsel on how to conduct yourself at work. And by the way, if that's the only reason Strzok was demoted, why wasn't she demoted? Maybe because that's not the only reason. And Bruce Orr, Assistant Deputy Attorney General, another beaut. He secretly meets with the guys from Fusion GPS, the ones who receive money indirectly from the Clinton campaign to write the fake dossier bought and paid for by the Clinton campaign to destroy Trump. And James Comey, the one who exonerated Hillary before the investigation was completed. The man who, with one question, could have indicted Hillary. Did you send United States classified information on an unsecure server? If she says yes, that's a crime. And if she says no, that's a lie. You remember Comey, the one who conducts himself in a holier-than-thou manner. People at the FBI called him Cardinal Comey behind his back. So political, so corrupt. He decides to take over the Attorney General's job to announce no charges against Hillary. The one warning Hillary Clinton at every stage what he's looking for. Her iPhone, her laptop, her server. Giving her the chance to delete 33,000 emails and then permission to obstruct justice with a hammer, bleach bit, and a delete button. Now, you remember when Comey reopened Hillary's case in October before the election, right after he exonerated her? Everyone started saying, look, this guy is so fair. Folks, he wasn't being fair. The NYPD was going to out him when they found classified information on dirtbag pervert Anthony Weiner's laptop from Uma and Hillary. And Robert Mueller. In a year with a team dedicated to destroying Donald Trump, he can't come up with one piece of evidence. And as hard as the mainstream media tries to make stuff up, like Brian Ross with ABC, CNN, Bloomberg, Reuters, and the Washington Post all in one week, they have nothing. So this week, Christopher Wray, the new FBI director, refuses to provide Congress with information.
Did Peter Strzok help produce and present the application to the FISA court to secure a warrant to spy on Americans associated with the Trump campaign?
Congressman, I'm not prepared to discuss anything about a FISA process in this setting.
What was presented to the FISA court?
I do not believe that I can legally and appropriately share a FISA court submission with this committee.
In truth, nothing prohibits the FBI from giving Congress that information. So why is Wray punting? Because a politically contrived dossier used by the FBI to generate surveillance on Trump by the opposing party in a presidential election spells disaster. For the better part of the last year, you and I have watched together as members of Congress beat their chest every time they have a hearing. Well, I, for one, am tired of investigations, politicians posturing. Something more has to be done. The stench coming out of the Justice Department and the FBI is like that of a third world country where money and bullies and clubs decide elections. It all started when Cardinal Comey destroyed our FBI with political hacks to set events in motion to destroy the Republic because they didn't like the man we chose to be our president. Well, it's time to take them out in cuffs.
I couldn't agree anymore. I mean, that's the appropriate thing. These people have fooled us for all of these years. You know, there's no police force or investigative body that works for the government that does not work for us, right? And we're supposed to have transparency. And yet these guys act like they're above us. The Comeys, the Muellers. And they act like they're going to come and give God's justice to us, like the bizarre Comey, who he's got some fixation with Christianity that doesn't seem to carry over to being like Christ. But in any event, all right, let's switch gears here. And I want to get into the story I was telling you in another story, a couple of science stories. Early humans migrated out of Africa much earlier than we thought. This is from Quartz Media. Traditional story says that humans migrated from Africa to the Asian continent about 60,000 years ago. It's the out of Africa model. Now they're revising it. According to a study published this week in Science, new discoveries over the last decade have shown that modern humans likely originated from several migrations from Africa as early as 120,000 years ago. And researchers have found fossils in southern and central China dating between 70,000 to 120,000 years ago. And I'm looking at where they're claiming that the migrations came from, and it is mostly, well, it's all East Africa, but from the Horn of Africa up, and North Africa, the very top. And there's also new evidence modern humans interbred with Neanderthals, as well as more recently discovered relatives, the Denisovans. I like these, you know, these groups. They always find this stuff and then they end up discounting it. And we were told not too long ago Neanderthals are just Homo sapiens with a different outfit. Anyway, that's notable. Now, there's a hum that exists inside of the Earth, and they don't really know what causes it. And this is from bendbulletin.com. Oh, Central Oregon, what do you know? Bend is kind of a hub of activity for skiing and such. It's about two-thirds of the way down and about in the center of the state, a little to the left. The world hums and shivers endlessly. It's a low, ceaseless droning of unclear origin that rolls imperceptibly beneath our feet, impossible to hear with human ears. And one researcher said it was like the sound of a static on an old TV slowed down 10,000 times. Now, Spar Webb, a seismologist at Columbia University, is quoted as saying the Earth is ringing like a bell all the time, and the hum is everywhere. It's been recorded in Antarctica, Algeria, on the floor of the Indian Ocean, and many other places. There's no explanation of what it is. Some think it has to do with ocean waves, the movements of atmosphere, or vibrations born of sea and sky. But if we understood it, we could find out a lot about the Earth, according to this article. Now, they're describing earthquakes being like huge gong bangs, you know, when you hit a gong. Enormous quake hit Japan in 2011, and the globe kept ringing for a month afterwards. And people on the other side of the world bounced about a centimeter, although they didn't really feel it. It's too small. And so it's continual signals from the Earth. And it's now been called the hum of the Earth. And the most recent theory is that it's caused by the pounding of the waves on the Earth. And so there's a lot of people who want to boil it down so that they can understand it, so they can find out what it means about the Earth. Now, whatever the origin, the result, the creation is a harmony of ultra-low frequencies resonating almost identically over the globe. And it's potentially valuable to know what is going on beneath the surface when the core is spinning at a very high rate of speed and as the tectonic plates shift. And some people believe it goes down to the core of the Earth. It could, we just don't know. And the noise frequency peaks between 2.9 and 4.5 millihertz. And so anyway, someday we may know what it all stands for. All right, I've got kind of an interesting story for you and something to think about. And we just have a few minutes left here. But Donald Trump recently, just the last few days, the last week, said that he accepts the temple or the Jerusalem as opposed to Tel Aviv as being the capital of Israel. Now, it's a big deal because what difference does it make? I mean, Israel is its own country, and it can make any city it wants its capital. But it really can't do it without our support. And the fact of the matter is, Jerusalem is obviously has a symbolism and an aura, a history that no other city in Israel can match. And it is the center of the temple. It's the place that Jesus Christ was crucified. It is the centerpiece of Judaism. It's the centerpiece of Christianity in some sense or another. And Islam also claims ownership of the Temple Mount, which is where it built the Temple on the Rock. Now, the Muslims never wanted that to be the headquarters of Israel because of their claims. And really, what they would like to do is establish Jerusalem as the capital outside of their own capital, which is Mecca, which they've kind of done by saying that we don't want you to move your capital there because you don't own it. You don't have any right to it. It's a shared capital. It's our home away from home, and you don't have any right to take that. So the fascinating thing is that now that it's been changed, there's a lot of criticism out over there, but it has brought up one thing, and this here is WND, WorldNet Daily. And WorldNet Daily And this, I'm just seeing when this was published. Well, it was published 5 hours ago, so it was just published on the 10th. What it deals with is the temple. Now, what difference does it make if the Jews rebuild the temple? We know this would be the third temple. The first temple was the temple of the son of David, the most wise man, according to legend. In history, Solomon, David had put together the plans for the temple, but because his hands were so bloody, Yahweh decided that Solomon would build the temple, and then Solomon did build the temple. And according to some accounts, the most magnificent building in the history of the ancient world was the temple. Then the temple is destroyed and then is rebuilt by Herod. And what's the import of the temple? What difference does it make? It makes a huge difference because that is where the sacrifice goes. So for 2,000 years, the Jews have not been able to do an expiation, a payment of sin through, really symbolically, through animals that were sacrificed on the temple. And the Old Testament goes into a great deal about this. So the Jews have wanted to rebuild the temple ever since they got Israel back. They haven't been able to do it because the Temple Mount is in the way of this, supposedly. But they've done a new calculation and said the Temple Mount is really not on top of where the old temple was. It's next to it. And now them building a temple there next to the Temple Mount would just create so much chaos. But be that as it may, what's going on right now is the United Temple Movement is organizing to begin building this third temple. Now, the fact of the matter is, and this is very fascinating, they've already collected long ago, a number of years ago, all of the implements that are needed to do the sacrifices, etc., for the priests. And I think they put billions of dollars into creating this stuff. They need a red calf, and I've actually got a book on this, the red calf without flaw, which means without any other color in its coat, no white hairs, in other words. The red calf is needed for the sacrifice, and so I think they found one in Arkansas or someplace like that. I have to go get that book and take a look at it again, but they've got all this stuff together. Now they want to rebuild the temple based on the old plans. And so some people are seeing Trump as acting in the role of Cyrus, the Persian king who ended the Babylonian exile and helped build the second Jewish temple. And Fried, who is... Asaf Fried is the official spokesman for the United Temple Movement, says that there have been amazing advances towards bringing the temple this year. It was clear that Trump was part of that process, guided by Hashem, God, Fried declared. So, many, many, many people are talking about this. A Likud lawmaker, Yehuda Glick, says the prophet's word of prophecy are coming forth from the Bible and becoming fact right before our eyes. And quoting from the opening of the Book of Lamentations, in reference to Jerusalem, Glick noted that once Jeremiah had wept, crying, "How deserted lies this city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she, who once was great among the nations." So that's what's going on now, and it could create, in theory, it could create a world war. I'm not overemphasizing that, because, you know, I mean, the Muslims could get so mad that they decide the only thing they can do is to go and start a war to stop them from doing that, but it's not really their land anyway. All right, so another individual, Rabbi Hillel Weiss, spokesman for the Sanhedrin, the rebuilt Sanhedrin, is optimistic, and he said 1 year ago the Sanhedrin which is an ancient body that has been reassembled, called on Trump to build the temple Osiris did 2,000 years ago. He's clearly moved in this direction, but there's still a long way to go and many pitfalls that could prevent that from happening. Trump is facing enormous political pressures. The borders of Jerusalem are still open to negotiation. The Temple Mount is not a settled issue. United Nations is working hard at trying to convince the world the Jews have no place there. If Trump is to succeed, the Jews must come together in unity in order for him to remain strong. And Yaakov Hyman, United Temple Movement chairman, saw Trump's statements as part of a major shift in modern history to support Israel and the Jewish people. And he said, 1917 was the Balfour Declaration establishing Israel for the nations. 2017 was Trump's declarations. When Jews and non-Jews go up en masse, the temple is inevitable, Haman says. And these people of Israel are returning to their roots while simultaneously the non-Jews of the world are realizing the authenticity of our claim to the Temple Mount and a right to build a Jewish temple as a house of prayer for all nations. These processes are codependent. It depends on the Jews, our actions, but the non-Jews are an essential part of the process. Our task is to act as priests to make the whole world holy. Haman says, citing verse 19:6 in the book of Exodus, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And he adds, it will only happen in a temple in Jerusalem. The next step, the most important step, must be taken by the Jews. We need to begin going up to the Temple Mount in massive numbers. Once we do that, the temple is the next inevitable step. And Glick says, just as I've said that the state of Israel is a miracle, one of the greatest miracles, it seems to me that the fact that hundreds of millions of people, Christians, recognize Israel is another stage of miracle. There is something very special and holy in Trump, added Haman. Sometimes he appears coarse and not connected to religion, but every time he addresses the nation, he speaks about God. Last night, he said his motivation for recognizing Jerusalem was because it was the right thing to do. That is precisely how a leader guided by God should speak. And we're just about out of time here. I've enjoyed spending time with you. Not the same way as I used to, live, but pre-recorded, but still fun. And I'm looking for any final stories. Paper stating Amazon drivers are forced to deliver 200 parcels a day with no toilet break. Americans are giving Trump a higher grade on the economy than his overall leadership, but does it really matter? Because that's what people care about right now is the economy. And see what else here. More Americans turning to witchcraft, participation in traditional religions declining. I will get to that for you, of course, tomorrow. And a wealth management robot now has 11,500 clients. And We're getting snow squalls in Florida. What else? What else do I have for you here? Lindsey Vonn suffers back injury in World Cup race immediately after her comment slamming Trump. And they're trying to get Taylor Swift. There's a lot of people trying to get her to condemn Trump. You see all of this stuff that is going on out there. And it seems like it's spontaneous, but it's not. It's the left always trying to gin up hate. Isn't it sad? Let's take you out with some more. Kelly O'Connell signing off. Thanks for tuning in. And I hope you have a great day. Ciao.